much for the opportunity, Lee and Kurt and the whole Radio Rain team. We're very excited to present once again. The opportunity that we had with this presentation is to really step back as a service provider and go more to reach out to our vendors across the globe and share key experiences, as Lee just said, with how different broadcasters in their various regions are really expanding using programmatic audio from a marketplace, as well as just the automated buying from agencies' requests to be able to expand their monetization strategies. I was blessed to be able to talk with several digital leaders. I wanted to bring you a perspective of not just North America, but also around the globe to really fit with this conversation. I think you'll quickly see those in this virtual audience that one size approach doesn't truly fit everyone. And so what I hope that you take away is a perspective, a takeaway, an example, even a success point that you can take back into your companies or back into the agencies and make and employ to be able to yield your own type of success. So to kick it off, I'm going to present conversations that have happened recently with several key digital leaders around the globe. Luis Felipe with CRP Radio. Luis is a product marketing, innovation, and strategy manager. CRP Radio is a media conglomerate with operations throughout Peru and South America. I also was pleasured to speak with Rocío Echevarría. I totally butchered that. I'm sorry, Rocío. She is with PRISA. PRISA is the largest global Spanish language media company with operations in 13 countries throughout Mexico, LATAM, as well as Spain. Rocío also is the director of digital strategy with PRISA. I also spoke with several, including Tim Armstrong with Nova Entertainment. Tim is the head of digital strategy of platforms, capability, and audience. Nova is an Australian company with operations throughout that country as an entertainment company in both across radio networks. So those perspectives, I'm going to present those perspectives, but first I wanted to give you kind of a global look at how programmatic's impact on the global landscape has improved. I did a quick graph, and I promise this presentation is not a slew of charts, but I think it's interesting to see just the trajectory that programmatic revenue itself globally has played. It is a significant increase. Year over year, we're seeing a triple digit growth from last June through the end of June this year. And in fact, that spike that you see both in revenue trend as well as impression trend, since then, as you see the dip in early Q1, it's grown another 50%. And so we truly start to see a dramatic growth. And again, that's not just coming from revenue, it's coming from impression growth. Consumption has definitely increased globally throughout from the start of COVID all the way through. And the ACPM is one that's it's been very steady. Last year, we enjoyed a 24% increase year over year in average CPMs, and that's remained steady throughout. So now I want to take you to a glimpse around the globe. And so what we'll see is we're going to start in South America and Peru, because their perspective with programmatic audio is really interesting. A CRP Radio uses programmatic to drive monetization for all their audiences outside of Peru. The Peruvian audience is sold by direct sales. And that's because they have unique opportunities with their regional agencies. But it's really interesting to see how the US and the EU has really driven that monetization. And they're having quite great success. In fact, as we'll see in just a moment when we cover COVID, programmatic audio was a mainstay for CRP as it held steady and grew throughout the pandemic period. Not saying pandemic's over, but certainly the growth is there and it's steady for programmatic audio. As we continue in LATAM, but we spread out again through not just LATAM, but central, not just LATAM, but also Brazil, Colombia, and Chile, as well as Spain. Prisa Radio has really created this dynamic approach to a true value position for audio. They take a multi-channel approach, and programmatic audio plays a significant role. When I spoke with Rosario in terms of her growth and her success with programmatic audio, it was very evident that, especially in Spain, the programmatic revenue growth was significant. And it's because buyers around the globe are attracted to this exclusive niche audience, Hispanic audience, that is able to buy at scale. Additionally, she's seen tremendous growth, but she's also using the success that they've seen in some countries like Spain to be able to grow other countries like Chile, which Chile has been really dominant in other inventory units in digital, and the growth that they're seeing, powered in part by programmatic, but as well as the direct sales force within Prisa, is really helping to drive further growth in Chile. And Colombia, she's also experiencing growth, and that's heavily driven from programmatic transactions. So what we're seeing is a multi-pronged approach in Prisa that is helped by the buyers buying in an automated fashion, or buying in the open marketplace, or even driving through private deals to be able to expand their delivery through a very rich asset like Prisa Radio. Now, one country that I'm very familiar with, as Lee said, I cover North America for Triton Digital, is really representing the dynamic, or the diversity, I should say, with programmatic audio strategies. What we're seeing, again, overall, is tremendous growth. Triple-digit increases year over year with programmatic audio, because we see, one, more connection with buyers. We see more interest from the demand side to buy audio in a scalable way in the U.S. It's a very mature market, also very competitive market, but we're seeing that not only are CPMs rising in the U.S., we're also seeing certainly revenues, but impressions. Consumption continues to rise, which makes for a dramatic increase in impressions. And we also see that there are new buyers coming into the space. Certainly we have the big, large buyers, but we also start to see agencies like Procter & Gamble buying through programmatic means to make their operations more efficient. The more opportunities that we have to expand the value proposition of digital audio to those buyers is going to further further increase the opportunity for programmatic growth. And then we're going to head down under to Australia, just to take a quick perspective. Programmatic audio has served, in this case, Nova and Tim Armstrong very well. And it's doing it in a dual prong approach. First, with podcasts, significant growth of programmatic audio delivering consistently year over year for podcasts. It's a strong podcast network with Nova, and they've been able to grow their total revenue line in part because of the delivery and the success that they're having. Now, they, for live streaming, one approach that they've taken is they sell focused on pre-rolls. And so they've been able to utilize both direct sale, which is a huge component of their live streaming strategy, but programmatic audio plays a dramatic role as well. And so their goal has been to sell 100% of their pre-roll inventory and have that lead into selling more mid-roll inventory. That's been successful. In fact, in June, they saw their goals met and bleed into the ability to add additional inventory in mid-roll. So again, programmatic is playing a complementary role, with Nova being able to drive increased sales. Now, one key component that's interesting is how COVID played in. And so I asked each of these digital leaders how they were able to trend as well as see the impacts of COVID and how they played into that. First, before we look into the specifics of those particular entities, I wanted to just show you, again, on a global scale, the audience consumption. What we saw from January 2020 through the end of the year was a dramatic increase in and consistent increase in program and consumption. So what we really saw was a continued increase in inventory as well as programmatic buying. And that's in large part because, yes, schedules were shifting, less in-car, but a greater amount of smart speaker listening, mobile listening, and even just time spent. Podcasting was a huge piece of the audio growth that we saw as more and more people listen. On the right-hand side, what you see is very similar to the previous trend you saw with the growth. This is since January, going through actually June of this year, again, a market growth with revenue. Programmatic spending has been a huge piece of that growth. And as I talked with Tim Aracero, as well as Luis, we talked about one common denominator, and it was sustained revenue through their programmatic channels throughout COVID. One interesting point, like in Peru, like many countries, were hit very hard with direct retail and direct spend. That was supplanted and even bolstered by what happened in the US and Europe programmatically to help really carry CRP through. So without that complement of programmatic audio, their revenue trends might have been further hampered because of the constraints that they had inside the market. And I know many countries had the same, but that's one perspective. Certainly, I just mentioned the increase in traffic. Again, that's going through growth in additional devices. And we've seen, and it's been reported on at length, that the growth of those different devices really shifting the landscape of how consumption is happening, but consumption growth nonetheless. And we also saw many buyers leaning in to more programmatic buying. As I talked to publishers in the US, they talked about more direct agencies looking to buy programmatically, just buying through an automated fashion, more so than through IOs. So it might be a shifting of dollars in some sense, but I truly believe that programmatic audio is opening up new budgets to be able for audio. And I think there's an important opportunity for audio to continue to grow with those new budget opportunities. And as I said, audience listenership has increased. And I think what we saw the most is that listener increased through podcasts as well as through genres. For example, Prisa saw their biggest growth, not just in their podcast, but also in talk radio. And that all translated into an increase in programmatic revenue. As we looked around the globe and not just talked about their programmatic strategies, we also wanted to understand how they're preparing for even further growth, how those strategies are evolving or the successes they're having are evolving into more key strategies. And a couple of key things stood out to me is each of the digital leaders that I spoke to and some of the things that I even noticed as throughout the US is there's opportunities for us to grow the value of online audio. And so it's really apparent that with the different countries that there's an education and even evangelization of online audio's benefits to the agencies. I think we're coming into a time where audio is no longer new, but we need to really expand the value propositions that against maybe online video, maybe display, that the agencies have been buying programmatically for years, and how the pervasive aspects of online audio, the anywhere, anytime, always on element and close to the point of purchase happens. So one takeaway could be how your company and how you, in your market and your region, really plays into that pervasive listenership that we can evangelize to the agencies. We also got into a discussion with Rocio, as well as Tim, about expanding the metrics that are available to agencies, opening up the access to the metrics and educating on the value of the descriptions of those metrics to be able to give them a comparative to maybe a video, as well as a distinctive way that your growth is important to them. So really opening up the access and asking for the specific metrics that'll help them with their ease of buying. The other thing is looking at brand safety. And I think we touched on this in earlier panels, but it is something that is truly necessary to continue to talk with agencies about, especially with music stations, how safe this audio component is, especially from these marquee broadcasters that I spoke with and that we work with across the globe. It's a great opportunity and environment for advertisers. And with so many different offerings around in the online audio space, music stations is a great way that we can reinforce, again, that they are going to be in an environment where their advertisers want to be. One of the things that I thought was also very interested in talking with Louise is promoting the education of performance versus branding. If we think of digital as a performance indicator, and we think of broadcast and reach as a branding indicator, then it's truly important to educate that online audio sits in the middle of that. So if you think of it in a continuum, we're kind of in the middle of between performance and branding, because we do have the ability to create immediate performance metrics for those agencies. But we also, through online audio and its efficiencies and its proficiency, to be able to complement a branding campaign. That is tremendous value that you can bring to an agency to optimize their buys. And then where can we go from here? I talked with Luis and Tim and Rocio quite specifically about where they're going. And again, it led to where they as internal companies want to go. And so while I mentioned with Prisa, the education that's spreading from one market, the learnings and the success into other markets. I see this in the US for many broadcasters as we have key markets that have success with programmatic audio and how that can translate into medium markets and small markets. I see that from conversations just like this with Rain, where we have shared learnings from broadcasters that have had success. And I hope it's something that, and I've seen in conversations that we have with our publishers and content creators, that they move and take pieces of that information. So that continued industry shared knowledge about the advantages of digital audio is certainly something that we need to do. Also, I heard a lot from all the broadcasters that I spoke with about the acquisition of more data, this amassing of more information that we can use to harness to be able to give more depth to the buyers and agencies about the audience they're buying, and certainly in a more targeted and direct way. I think we talked about that in earlier panels. So certainly something that's very consistent. I'll give you one example. Actually with CRP and Prisa, one of the challenges that they are trying to overcome is through a massive distribution. Many, many players are have their content and distributing it. And they're really working on a consolidated effort to amass that into a homogenous way to really identify who those users are, again, with all the privacy restrictions in place, but identify them to be able to maximize and optimize how they can reach those audiences in a responsible way. And so really being able to have a specific distribution strategy that allows them to continue to register their audience, continue to build upon the value for value of content and delivery for that registered audience, so that again, they become a much more valuable partner for their agencies. And also to gather, educate, and retain delivery metrics that they can then share out as performance indicators with agencies. It's similar, but it's all things that they are working on internally to be able to continue to grow not just their programmatic audio, but also their overall online audio digital strategy. So I guess the question that I have for this group is, where do we grow from here? And I think that's a question that we need to ask individually, and also Triton can certainly be a part of that discussion. But we want to be engaged, and we want to know how we can help you grow, but also what your insights are, where your growth stories are. Because again, as I said at the beginning, programmatic audio is something that is a feature and an asset within the monetization strategy that continues to grow. And we're looking forward to continuing to grow with this industry and being a key player in your evolution.
Great, thank you, Stephanie. Do you have time? Do you want to entertain questions, or shall we call it a session? Up to you.
I'm with you. Whatever you'd like. If there are questions, I'm happy to address them. If there are not, and I stunned everyone, and I'm keeping someone from either a late lunch or an early drink, I'm happy to pass.
Thanks very much, Stephanie, and great to have Triton Digital on board. As you've noted, we're all looking forward to coming out of this pandemic in good shape and hopefully with a whole range of new engagements, and clearly you can see that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And what we continue to see, and again, it's really indifferent to the region, is continued consumption, which is a great online audio story. It's a great audio story, actually, because we continue to see different ways that audiences are connecting to the content, whether that content is on demand, whether it's podcasting or live streaming. We just see a deeper engagement. And I love that, because I think it's a powerful story, whether you're specifically a direct seller for radio, whether you're in a podcasting content creator space and looking to monetize that. But I think that what we've seen through the growth of programmatic in those individual areas, podcast, live stream, is that the trajectory is the same. And it doesn't mean that it's negating direct sales. What I constantly heard from talking with leaders across the globe is it is a compliment. It's an opportunity for one to drive the other. And I think that's a really powerful story. And I think it's really going to shine light in 2022 as those budgets resume, Lee, to your point, as more and more spending continues to grow. I think the opportunity, the brand safety, the connectedness of audiences with audio is going to help drive more and more revenue to audio.
Yeah, it's encouraged the audio consumer, the media consumer at large, to consume in different ways, and also to really embrace some of the platforms that have now become almost normal in this pandemic period. And I can see a lot of that really starting to grow out when I talk to the various platforms around the world and the media that populate those platforms. There's a real thirst out there to really do things a little differently the other side of this period. And I think it's going to really bring on some new layers of engagement and ways we engage and how we use our listening day in a lot of ways. I'm very audio focused, obviously, but I see, and I know you've seen that too with everything you're dealing with through Triton, with all the partners you have, particularly in the media landscape, and the things you're doing there, and the data you're seeing off the back of the platforms that are now being engaged in a regular manner.
Absolutely. So I can take that in two ways. We see it with smart speaker growth. I mean, double digit increase persistently as we, you know, depending on the time frame that you measure. But that is, it's longer listening times happening. It's longer listening and more connections being made still on mobile. But even the diversity of devices continues to grow and expand. And I think it really is this pervasive audio listenership that is really leading to a dominance that audio is experiencing right now. But the other thing that I would say is what I mentioned before with some of our LATAM markets as well as in Europe is there's a strategy to be wherever the listener is, which is tremendous and it's laudable. But it's also about making sure that you're really capturing the audience and capturing their attention and their detail. And so I think what we'll see in the period to come as a strategy is being able to harness that, being able to ensure that broadcaster is truly in control of the listener environment, whether it be on their own hosted device or another distributor. Because I think it is different around the globe, but it is something that as data becomes more important, but also very much respected to make sure that we're responsible in each country's legislation, I think it's really important that we still keep control of that audience.
Yeah, it's very obvious that the major networks around the world, whether it's a Southern Cross Austereo or a Nova or an ARN in Australia, or for that matter, the ABC down under, or perhaps in Europe where you're talking about a Global, or a wireless group or a Bauer spanning into the big networks in Europe. And you deal with all of these companies. I'm talking purely about the media landscape here, but you're involved with the energies. You're involved with all of the... with the RTLs, all of these European brands that they've all embraced non-linear content as a part of their bouquet of layers that they present in very different ways. And they've all done it very well through this pandemic. It's been very evident. And here in the States, of course, the big brands, the big networks, the iHeartMedias and so forth have really capitalized on what you can do in that non-linear space. So it's going to be a very interesting time as we come out of this period into what will be the end of 2021 into 2022. And it'll be interesting to see how you read that landscape from a Triton Digital standpoint.
Well, absolutely. And I think we're going to continue to report on that. Everything that you just said, Lee, is coming into our company from a metrics perspective, whether it's live streaming metrics or podcast metrics. We're starting to see in these regionalized areas the demand, the request, even the intrigue, to be able to evolve those metrics in a way that is more palatable to the broadcaster, but also more consumable with the agencies. So I think what you'll see is continued advancement for that, because again, there's certainly broadcast pressure, but as a technology provider and leader, our metrics are there to ensure that there is true common ground and common measurements from an agnostic approach. And so that's one, exactly what you just said, globally, is really going to be evident now and even in the months and years to come with our measurement products. So thanks for bringing that up. Great
point. And the global space has become a much more integrated kind of conversation, because as you say, it's not just those typical European or North American or Canadian or Australian layers that we're talking about here. Suddenly Latin America has come into its own. There's a huge layer of engagement down there, despite their drawbacks with the pandemic. And then you get into the Asian landscape and the big brands, Astro and all these big brands that are doing marvelous things right through that region. And I know that Triton Digital have got big measurement and big engagement in those parts of the world.
Yes, and I wish I could have represented the APAC region a bit better, a little further north into the Central Asian market. I just, we'll do that next time. So if you'll invite me back on the next panel, I'll make sure that we include those as well as a host of others that you mentioned and others that we work with. It truly is a representative landscape that we need to have more engaging conversations like this. So again, thank you to Rain. Thank you, Lee, for the opportunity. And I look forward to the next time.